So Dr. Bricey is not able to attend. He's actually in Flint this week. So I'm going to give his presentation on his experiences with the blood-led surveillance activities and also the challenges that NCEH and Michigan Department of Health and Human Services experienced during the response. So this is a timeline of notable events during the Flint water contamination. There was approximately 25,000 housing units, and as I discussed, there are about 99,000 residents living in Flint. April 2014 is the change from Flint River water. August 2015, a Flint pediatrician named Dr. Hannah Atisha, she published a study of childhood blood lead levels in the American Journal of Public Health. In September of 2015, the CDC began responding to congressional inquiries about the Flint water crisis. On October of 2015, Genesee County, which is where Flint resides, issued a public health emergency. October 8th, the city of Flint was reconnected back to the Detroit water supply system. December 2015, the Flint Mayor Weaver declared a state of emergency. January 2016, federal assistance under a unified coordination group began. February 1st, 2016, CDC activated their Emergency Operations Center for the Michigan Water Quality Response. This was deactivated in April. And then in April 2016, CDC and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services began a data sharing agreement. NCEH and ATSDR were the lead from CDC, and they partnered with Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. They also partnered with the City of Flint and the Genesee County Health Department. They helped provide case management to families with children who had elevated blood lead levels. They helped decrease the backlog of families that were in need of case management through the Public Health Service. There was 107 communication products produced by CDC. They conducted 12 congressional briefings. They partnered with EPA to assess water filter effectiveness. In the spring of 2016, there was an ACE investigation that looked at rashes and hair loss. There was a CASPER conducted by NCEH in May of 2016 looking at the impact of mental health issues and a lot of different things, and that report is being produced now. And then in the coming week there will be an MMWR on the blood lead levels. So NCEH ATSDR was tasked to define the extent of exposure to children in Flint, and the next few slides summarize this response. And like I said, the report is anticipated to be published maybe this week or next week. NCEH entered into a data sharing agreement with Michigan Department of Health and Human Services beginning in April 2016. We used a cross-sectional analysis to determine the proportion of children tested that had blood levels greater or equal to 5 and greater or equal to 10 before, during, and during was defined as early and late, and after the Flint water source switch. And the four analytic time periods are defined in the table at the bottom. The January 3rd, 2015 cutoff was used in the late water switch period because that was the date the city announced the boil water advisory, and water drinking behaviors likely changed after this date. The analysis that we conducted were restricted to children less than 6 years of age, and also we conducted a couple other analyses during this time, a logistic regression to see if we could predict factors of children with blood levels greater or equal to 5, and we also did a time series analysis that has not been published yet. So during the exposure period, an estimated 9,622 children aged less than 6 resided in addresses within the Flint Water Service area, which we just talked about, and among these children, 76% or 7,306 received 9,422 blood lead tests before, during, and after the water source switch period. During the pre-water source switch period, 3.1% of children tested had blood levels greater or equal 5. However, this percentage increased to 5%, which is the second column, during the early water source switch period, and then it decreased to 3.9% in the late water source switch period, and then 1.4%, which is the last column, in the post-water source switch period. After adjusting for covariates, the probability of having a blood level greater than 5 remained significantly higher during the early water source switch period compared with the pre-water source switch period. The odds ratio was 1.46, and the confidence interval didn't include 1. Additionally, the probability of having a blood level greater than 5 was significantly higher for children 1 to 2 years of age, and also during the summer and fall months compared to the winter months. Gender and race were not significant in our final model. Some conclusions from the analysis are that Flint residents were exposed to excess amounts of lead in their drinking water. Children tested during the early water switch period had a 1.5 times higher proportion of blood levels greater or equal to 5 compared to children in the pre-water source switch period. Unpublished time series analysis showed similar results. And then the recommendations are that all children less than 6 living in Flint should have their blood tested for lead, and that obviously case management should be provided to children greater or equal to 5. The environmental health infrastructure quickly became overtaxed in the city of Flint, and blood lead level surveillance was important to closely monitor the situation over time. The city and the county and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services conducted timely risk communication, which was very important. Long-term monitoring remains critical as local and state authorities continue to monitor the blood level of children living in Flint. And the use of blood lead level surveillance information is critical as a means to assess the amount and type of educational and social services young children in Flint exposed to these high lead levels will need in the future. The Flint experience reminds us about the importance of surveillance to help identify potential health risks. Consider how your surveillance data and other local level data you collect can be used more actively. Take advantage of the vast amount of data that's available to us in either its health setting or housing data, geographic data, census data. Work on trying to figure out the best ways to use this data in new ways to affect change and to improve health. Data-driven knowledge is vital and could have far-reaching effects inside and outside of our communities. And just to give an example of what else we're partnering with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, we're using active surveillance methods in the city of Flint and looking at the historic blood lead surveillance data to model future variations so we can detect upward shifts in the proportion of children with blood levels greater or equal to 5 as modeled in the syndromic surveillance way. Flint reminds us how precious clean water is and how we must maintain constant vigilance to ensure access to clean water, especially for our most vulnerable citizens. We need to focus on safe water from all sources, ensure that water is sampled as a potential source of lead in cities with aging infrastructure, implement more robust and sensitive surveillance system methods, and also work to revise the existing lead and copper rule to include notification of public health agencies. And that concludes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have time for a couple questions on either presentation.
Do we have any data that show what a comparable population outside of Flint might have in terms of distribution of individuals that have greater than 5 micrograms per deciliter of lead?
It's definitely being looked at. I think there are some people from Michigan in the audience, but I know that we've looked at some of the other cities, and sometimes you see a greater proportion, greater or equal to 5, among the same size city. And other times you see a smaller proportion, so it's pretty variable.
One more question.
Hey, I'm Stacy Cooper from Alaska, and I don't know if you're able to share this data or not, but I've always been curious. Do you know what the mean elevated blood lead level was for those children under 6 that had a blood lead level over 5?
We would have loved to have been able to capture that mean or median level. But because the labs report blood levels less than 5, less than 4, less than 3 as a category, we're not able, and which is 97% of the results are in that range, mm-hmm. We're not able to do any manipulation of the data. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we only have 8 hours of daylight left, so we need to get out and enjoy. So thanks to all our presenters for a great session.